And chapter number 25, I'm going to read verse 26. And then I'm going to go to chapter number 32, and I'm going to read a couple of three verses there. This is out of a series on Jacob that I have preached, and I felt led to go this direction. And then throughout the rest of the week, I believe the Lord would have me preach on the second coming. Boy, my heart's fresh on the second coming. I'm glad He's coming, aren't you? And I'm looking forward to it. Genesis chapter number 25 and verse 26. The Bible said, "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." Now I want us to skip over to chapter number 32 and verse 26. This is some 91, 2, 3 years later. It's the same boy, Jacob. A lot of things have transpired between these two texts. A lot of agony and misery and troubles. And on this night, the Bible said in verse 24, "Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." I'm interested in verse 26. "And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.'" You can be seated. I want to preach for a few moments tonight on what I call Jacob's squeeze. It seems as though everywhere you find Jacob in the Bible, he's squeezing things, gripping things, clutching things, holding on to things. This is his nature. It's evident in verse 26 of chapter 25 at his birth. He comes into this world trying to determine the outcome of who's going to be born first, and he's got a grip on his brother's heel. And if you know the story of Jacob, you know it doesn't end there. He's so interested in the birthright that has to do with the bulk of the inheritance that he even tries to buy it off Esau with a bowl of soup. Then later on, he pulls a shenanigan and lies to his blind daddy over the ordeal. Seems like he's all time gripping things and choking things and trying to control things. For 90-some years, all the way over to our text when on this night, in chapter number 32 and verse number 26, he's got a full Nelson on God. Now you think about that. The Lord must have a sense of humor. I don't know why he puts up with our ways and so on. But he's all the time gripping things. Sort of reminded me, my brother lives in Ohio. He had someone break in his house. And the police came and they did their little CSI report. They took a solution and they dusted all of the places where they figured that this man may have placed his hands. And of course, they got his fingerprints. They told my brother, said, "We're going to take this back downtown and we'll run a comparison. We'll put it in the computer. And if he's ever been caught breaking in anywhere else or left his prints anywhere else, it'll show up and we'll get our man." My brother said he didn't think he'd hear from him again. But sure enough, 2 weeks later, he got a phone call and they said, "We've got your man, the culprit." We run the fingerprints through, and he's the one that created the crime scene at your house. He is here in jail. As I thought about the fingerprints of this man that showed up, that he had been where he should not have been and touched things and gripped things and clutched things that he should not have clutched, I thought about Jacob and all the messes in his life. If you'll take time to read his life in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, you'll find that there were a lot of messes, but every mess that was caused in Jacob's life, if they'd have been able to, that his fingerprints would have shown up on it. And I want us to go as far as to say tonight that if there's any real messes in your life, the problem can be traced back to you because you have had your hands in on it. Somehow you've tried to control it, you've tried to change it, you've tried to squeeze it, you've ended up trying to choke it. You were trying to work out the end to your advantage. You squeezing things. And that's why you're so miserable. But it is here on this night, in chapter number 32, that the angel of the Lord tells Jacob what everybody's been trying to tell him for all those 93 years. He says to him in verse number 26, simply, "Let me go." Jacob has sought after the blessing all of these years. But what the angel of the Lord is saying to him, "Jacob, you're never going to be able to experience and enjoy the blessings of God in your life until you," and here's the sermon, "let go and let God." Amen. Jacob's going to have to let go if he's going to let God. And can I ask you tonight, what is it that you've been trying to control? What is it that you have put the squeeze on? What is it that you're holding on to and you will not yield and you will not release? What is it that you're afraid to find out that God can take charge of? What are the issues in your life that you've yet to find out that God can bless you in spite of it if you just let go? If you just release, if you just let God, He can do more in a second than you can do in 93 years. But we're all so human, aren't we? Of course, we inherited that, and so did Jacob. All the problems in this old world is because that forbidden tree had a set of fingerprints on it that shouldn't have been there. As they took and gripped and squeezed and partook of that. And so it is in our lives. We're so prone to try to figure things out and iron things out. And we're so prone to put our hands on things. And we've got our fingerprints all over until we've got our fingerprints all over the messes that are in our lives. God said, "Let go! And let God." Am I talking to you tonight? What are you trying to determine the outcome of? What is it that's got you so frustrated because you can't control it? What is it that's keeping you up all night? That you're wanting to get some kind of hold on or a full nelson? What are you trying to choke down? What is it that you think that you can do better with than God can? What is it that you will not let go? You refuse to let go? And it's eating you, eating away in your heart, eating you up. Because you won't let go and let go. Children, whatever it is in your life, take your hands off, let go, and find out God. Can. Let go and find out God can. Four things that I want to bring your attention tonight that you're going to have to let go of if you're going to enjoy the blessings of God. Four things. Can I mention them to you briefly? First of all, I think that Jacob, on this fateful night, is going to have to let go and let God, underscore this, because I think it's the most difficult one. Jacob is going to have to let go and let God have the things he could do. You see, the great difficulty in our lives, most of the time, and the things that causes us the greatest amount of agony, is not so much the things we don't do, but the things we do. Because there are some things within our power that we can try to do. And believe it, underscore it, old Jacob was a doer. He didn't sit around and wait on God to do anything if he thought he could do it, and he thought he could do most things. And he had set his head to it, and he would try his best to achieve that which he wanted in his favor. And so he put his hands all over everything, trying to do things. Yet the angel of the Lord tells him on this night, you just get your hands off of me. You let go of those things that you could do. I understand by way of application, there are some things you can do. You can take that job if you want to. You can walk off that other job if you want to. You can buy and purchase that thing if you want to. Your credit card will work, or you can get some money out of your billfold or borrow some money. You can say what you want to say to someone. There are a lot of things that we can do in life. But we must stop and realize that we're going to face the things that we do down the road. They're going to have an impact upon our lives daily. We must be cautious as to what we do today just because we can do it, because we're going to have to live with it. And the misery of Jacob's life is because he's all the time controlling the circumstances and situations with his own powers because he can do it. Who was it? Saul, who offered up the forbidden offering to God. Why did he do it? Because he could do it. Who was it? Adam and Eve that partook of that fruit. Why? Because they could do it. Who was it? Achan that went in and got that wedge of gold and those garments. Because he could do it. The Bible is filled with examples of those that have the power to do things, and they do it because they can do it, and not realizing what it's going to bring about. Read the story of Jacob's life, and he negotiates with his brother over a bowl of soup because his brother is hungry. He goes in before his father and lies about who he is to get the blessing. He goes up to his uncle and beats him out of all of his cattle. He's constantly doing things, but when you read and study his life, you see how that his silly battles, his sorry behavior, his shady bargainings did nothing but bring brokenness and bitterness and emptiness and loneliness. But it was his own fault because it was his own doings. You can follow him all the way back and you can see his fingerprint on everything that was causing the agony in his life. Don't just do it because you can do it. Don't even the score because you can even the score. Don't straighten things out because you're thinking straighten things out. Don't live life as if you are in charge. If you do, you're going to pay for it. Let go and let God have the things you can do. Because that's where the trouble is going to come. Illustration of that, and I move on. David was a young man anointed by Samuel to be the next king in Israel. But yet he ran for approximately 15 years from the present king, Saul. Saul hated David and swore that he would kill him and tried to do so, chased him all over the deserts and the mountains and so on, and gave that word he would kill him. And you remember that on one night, David and his men went into a cave. And wouldn't you believe it? By the providence of God, Saul is in the area, and Saul goes in that cave also later on to rest and to sleep. He doesn't realize he's sleeping in the very presence of a man that he's chasing to try to kill. And David's men said to him, "Look, here's the king. You can do it now. He's asleep. You can end this terrible run that you're having to run. You can run him through with your sword and be done with it, and you'll be king." David said, "Oh no, I didn't start this thing, and I'm not going to finish it. I didn't put my hands on it in the beginning and ask to be king and to be anointed. And I'm not going to stuff out the life of another king. I will not put my hands on that." He refused to do so, even though he could have. But if he'd have done that, he'd have changed the whole story of his life. He'd have taken matters in his own hands. Let go, children, tonight, of the things that you can do. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? There's some things you can do. But you better pray about that. The simplest of matters need to be prayed about. You don't just do it because you can do it. I was talking to a fellow the other day who had went out and purchased something, and he was talking to me about it, and he said, "Well, I'll just tell you, it was a motorcycle, and I've got one too." And he said to me, he said, "Preacher, you know, I'm just uncomfortable with it. I never even prayed about it." And said, I said, "Sell it quick as you can, get rid of it." If you didn't pray about it and you don't have any peace about it, you don't need it. So far, the Lord's okay, man. Let God and let God have the things you can do. Secondly, can I point out to you hurriedly? Jacob is going to have to. You're going to have to. If you're going to enjoy the blessings of God in your life, you're going to have to let go and let God have the things you cannot do. See, the truth of the matter is, with all that we can do, we end up as failures, don't we? Moses supposed he could lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he ended up a failure. No man ever began a work in the flesh, but that he didn't end up as a failure. And Jacob is realizing, he has to realize that all the energies that he's put into this thing of trying to attain the birthright and the blessing and the bulk of the inheritance has ended up in total failure. The bowl of soup deal, the lie to his daddy, the cattle deal, all of that has ended up in naught. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not up to you to do what only God can do. He's not going to let you achieve that. He will bring you to, he will design, as he did in the life of Simon Peter. He will design failure on your behalf and on my behalf. You see, what Jacob is trying to do is change the divine purposes of God. Isn't God the one who determines life? And the order of life? Esau wasn't born first by accident. This wasn't a work of the devil. The same God of heaven that determined that Jacob would be born, determined that Esau would be born, and also determined that Esau would be born first. Heaven was not all confused about the matter and the outcome of it. Oh no, look here what's happened. We're going to need Jacob's help to turn this thing around. You can't turn around what God has ordained. Amen. And there's some things that God has wrought in your life, whether you like or not. It's His handiwork, and He don't want you fighting against Him. And I found that most of what we do is in the energy of the flesh, trying to change God's plan for our lives, praying it around some other way. Help me pray that this won't be, and it won't happen. Help me pray that I can get Esau out of front and put him behind. Help me pray. Save your breath. Some things don't need to be prayed about. You're wasting your breath in this Esau. Did God Almighty ordained it and brought it to pass, and that's the way it is. And there's some things in our lives that God has brought to pass, and we know it. But yet we'll fight it tooth and nail, try to change it. I want to tell you something. You're going to have to let go and let God have the things that you cannot do. The very divine purposes of God, you're not going to change. I'll tell you something else. You're not able to change, and Jacob realizes he's not able to change not only the divine purposes, but the human passions. I noticed back in our text in chapter number 25 that the Bible said that Isaac loved who? Esau. Boy, you know Jacob don't like that. When he looks into daddy's eyes and sees that you can just sort of tell. When he says, when he calls their names, Jacob, Esau. Where's Jacob? Esau. Esau comes around this and a little extra pat, maybe a little extra money, a little extra time, and so on, bragging on his soup and all that other stuff. And poor old Jacob's having to eat that day in and day out. But that's part of human nature. But honey, you're not able to change men's hearts. You're not able to change women's hearts and determine how they feel about you. I asked a young fella, you know, and then that goes with pastoring, you know. Some of us pastors, we wear our feelings on our sleeves. Some men will come and they think they really like our church, and then about a month they're gone. And say, well, I reckon they don't like me. Who cares? We can't make everybody laugh. If everybody that come through this church would stay, you'd have to build a building 10 times this size. And as a result of that, your pastor talked about it this morning. These churches run around trying to do these extra things to try to get people to like their church. That's a bunch of junk. I say, if you don't like this church, and I think your preacher will agree with it, go down the road, they'll give you a hot dog and hamburger. You might like that. Now, why did I say that? Yeah, well, up here, I done. Well, I didn't mean to say all that, but he can't determine how his daddy feels. He can't determine. He can't change how his mama feels. He can't change those things. We can't make everybody like us. Even their human passions. I had a young man here. I was talking to him. He's in his 20s, and I've known him just about since the day he's born. I said to him, "Are you dating anybody? Got anything going as far as?" He said, "I do. I do." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Just one problem." I said, "What's that?" He said, "She don't know it." I said, "Well, that could be a difficulty." He's working on marriage and she don't even know it. Let go and let God have the things you can do. Let go and let God have the things you cannot do. As a matter of fact, he said, without me, you can do what? Disown that and confess that, but you can't do anything unless he does it through you. All right, thirdly. Jacob's going to have to let go and let God have the things that he can do, the things he can't do. But I'm going to tell you something else. Jacob, from verse number 9 and verse number 11, which we didn't read, but I want to point out to you, Jacob is going to have to, if he's going to enjoy the blessings of God, he's going to have to let go and let God have the things that he is doing. Now, a lot of times we have a pity party. Say, well, I got saved and joined the church and got baptized. Now look what's happening. Started paying my tithes and look what's happening. I hear all these preachers preaching on TV about all that's going to happen to me, the health and wealth, and now look what's happening. I never had back problems before. I'm going to drop for all time and charging now more than I ever did. What's wrong here? There ain't nothing wrong. Except that God wants you to let go where you're at and let God have even that. That's good preaching, ain't it? Look in verse number 9. As far as I can tell, this is the first time that Jacob's really gotten into the very will of God. He's right smack dab in the will of God. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return to thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. He said, God, I didn't just make this trip down here by myself like I've done a lot of other things. But I was up there, you come to me one night, and you said to me, Jacob, I want you to head back to the house. And Lord, I did what you told me to do. I'm down here right smack dab tonight in the middle of God's will. Yeah. Now look in verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother and the children. He said, I'm in the will of God now, looking death right in the face. I used to have problems with Esau. Now I hear he's got 300 devils with him. And they're coming, and I know the last time I heard word from him, he said, if you ever saw me, you'd kill me. Oh, God! I'm here because you sent me now. It looks like my world's falling apart. Well, there's a few choices. One, you can pick up your old bad habits and see if you can stir up a little fight. Maybe fight Esau when he gets, but you ain't got to have a chance now. He's got 300 devils with him. Used to be just you and Esau. He's grown a little bit. Huh? The other thing is, you can get out of the will of God and run back to Mesopotamia, but that ain't going to help you. But the last result that most of us have to wait on before we ever go that route is we stand ground where we're at and we say, God, we're not going to fight this battle. We're not getting no more Esau situations. We're not going to put our hands on anything. Our fingerprints is not going to be on this. God, we're going to let God let you have where we're at. And if there's any trouble with Esau, you'll have to take care of it. I've put him in your hands. I've let God have him. It's a wondrous thing. And the reason why you worry on it is a wondrous thing to find out that God's bigger than your Esau's and bigger than you, bigger than your situations. And he brought you there to show you that if you just get your hands off of it, he'll take care of it. And if you read the rest of it, isn't it amazing? When Esau got there, Esau didn't even want to fight. He didn't have no fight in him. Now, who done that? God did. Isn't it amazing in your most fearful situations how God can just take care of that thing? Breathe on it. Somebody said, well, what happened? What about that? Oh, you just wouldn't believe. I just give it to God. I was determined I wasn't going to lose no sleep, and I wasn't going to argue about it. I wasn't going to fight about it. And you wouldn't believe how it turned out. Wondrous. Did I tell you? Jacob, he's a squeezer. But he's having to learn to let go. Let God have the things he could do, the things he couldn't do, and the things he was doing, if he's going to enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. But I said all that to get to this last thought. Jacob the squeezer, if he's going to enjoy the blessings of God, is going to have to let go and let God do the things that he's always been doing. You just didn't realize it. You see, all while you're so busy squeezing and turning and churning and trying to figure things out and wrestle things down and choke things down, you're not able to relax and see what God's doing in your life. Hey, Jacob, you think God doesn't want to bless you? You think he's hard up for blessing and he's already given them all out and you probably won't get one? Did you notice back in chapter number 25 what the Scripture said? It notes that God was blessing Jacob. Well, let's read it. Verse 23, "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people." Notice this last phrase, "And the elder shall do what? Serve the younger." Somebody should have told Jacob that. Because the truth of the matter is, he wasted 93 years trying to get what God had already given him. Huh? As a matter of fact, God had blessed Jacob before there even was a Jacob. Before he was ever born, the determinant outcome God had already settled. He said, Jacob's going to be the birthright child. Jacob's going to be in my sight the birthright. Get the blessing. Jacob is the one I'm going to work through. And he hadn't even been born yet. And yet Jacob wasted 93 years of energy trying to get what God had given him in eternity. While you're worried and fretting and struggling and patting your hands all over things trying to determine an outcome that God's already fixed. And it'll be your blessing. He blessed him before there even was a him. Huh? Somebody said, "Boy, Warren, let's tell you what, God's been good to me since he saved me." I got news for you. He's good to me a whole lot sooner. Amen. Before he saved me. Amen. He had it all around that to turn to pass what he's going to do for me. He's got tomorrow around down. Tomorrow and the next day. He's got it all around through eternity. Why should I waste my time wrestling and trying to do something? And fix something, wrestle something, squeeze something. If you don't believe that, honey, I feel sorry for you. That God's in charge. He blessed him before there even was a him. And he blessed him in spite of him. He'd been wanting to bless him all along, but he couldn't bless him because of him. Now let me say this. There's no Esau, there's no Laban, there's no Leah, there's no Isaac, there's nobody in this world that can take God's blessing away from you. But there's one person that can keep you from enjoying it. Guess who it is? My husband. No, it ain't him. My wife. No, it ain't him. My wayward chip, no, it ain't them. The guy I work with, that's a job. Boy, if I could work on him a while, I'd be blessed. I'd just shout. No, you wouldn't. If you ain't blessed tonight, and you don't feel blessed tonight, there's only one person that's causing that. Everybody raise your hand. That's who it is. You the one. God's got bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels of blessing. He's poured on you every single day. And he's got so much more to give you. But you can't enjoy it. Just sit around. Just wish old Esau had. Get your mind off of him. Get your mind. Enjoy what God's given you. Get your hands off everybody and everything and every situation. Sit back and relax and watch God do. He blessed before you. He blessed in spite of you. He's blessed all around you. And He's blessed in you. I like what Psalm 92 and verse 4 said. It said, "For thy Lord hath made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." Huh? Sounds like a hands-off situation. Huh? God, I hate to hurt your feelings. He don't need you and your handiwork. I like what Daniel said when he said Jesus is coming back. He said it's like a stone cut out of the mountains when I'm right. Said there ain't been no hands on that. Well, there's some things God's done in this world. There ain't been no hands put on it. Salvation, when Jesus come into this world and give us the plan of salvation, of course, there wasn't no human hands on that plan. That's where it works. Creation, God made it all. Somebody said, "Well, how come He waited last to make us?" Because you've been trying to tell Him what to do. That's why. That's why before He saved you, He cried from the cross and said, "It's finished! It's over! You can't add to it and take nothing away from it! Don't need to have your fingerprints on it! Now, I saved you!"
That's right. Amen. That's good. Amen.
Everything God does is without hands. He'll work in your life. And as a matter of fact, the things that He does in your life will amaze you because you'll realize there wasn't no hands on it. Not even your hands. So man, somebody said, "How'd that happen?" I got no idea.
Amen.
All I can tell you is God did that. And I'm going to tell you something. When you drive into this place and come into this church, you realize that when I look at you folks, I know y'all ain't got sense enough to do all this. And I ain't a praying man in this preacher either. He couldn't have done this. He ain't. Right. Yeah. God just come out here in this little old place and did something without hands. God saved you without hands. Man's hands. And it's a wondrous thing to see God move and know that man's not doing it. Without hands. Because you see, all this squeezing and all this wrestling and all this full Nelson business ain't hurting nobody but you. No, it ain't hurting Esau, it ain't hurting Laban, it ain't hurting. It's just hurting you. You understand what I'm talking about? Now let me give you an illustration, I close. I have had the privilege, I guess you'd call it that, of water skiing once in my life. I guess you could say twice because it was the first and last. I had a preacher friend of mine. He said, "Brother Danny, you got to try this. It is wonderful." So all you do is you just lay back in the water, put your skis on, hold on to this bar right here, the rope's attached to the boat. I go 35 miles an hour and pull you right up. And well, it's just delightful. Well, I'm a sucker for stuff like that. I got in the water and I, you know, put the stuff on and I gave him the thumbs up. That's the worst thing I ever did. Son, that boat went on. He took off. He's serious. 35 miles an hour. Have you ever felt water going up your nose at 35 miles an hour? I couldn't get up. I tried. It was just like that the whole time. It's killing me. It really was. I mean, it cleaned my sinus out. I can't do it. I said, "There's enough of this. I've got to come out. I'm going to call God to do it." And I gave it all the strength I had. I pulled on that thing, and I found myself coming up. I came up. I guess you can call it. I went like this. Have Have you ever hit water with your face 35 miles an hour? And then there was a very important part of information he forgot to tell me. You know what it was. I ran out of zoom down into that water. I said, he ain't leaving me behind. 35 mile an hour, he'd been long gone. I'm a whole man of this thing. So I got that ball there all night. And I don't know if you know this or not, but all it does is take you deeper. I went as far down as that rope, I was seeing catfish bigger than me. Not really. No, joking. But I did go down. I went down so far, I said, oh, wait a minute. I ain't got much oxygen left, and it's getting farther down. I'm going to have to turn loose of this thing, or I'm going to drive. It's killing me. Finally, Brother David, I came to my senses. I turned loose. I just made it to the top within seconds. And I realized all that holding on was about to leave me on the bottom. Don't you know, all that holding on you're doing, all that squeezing you're doing, all that controlling you're doing, all that trying to determine the outcome ain't doing nothing, and you know it very well, but dragging you to the bottom. Let go, Jacob. Took him 93 years to get it. How long is it going to take you? Let go, Jacob. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to say, man alive, I could have enjoyed all those days. And there I was, I'm miserable. 93 years of holding, fighting, squabbling, and wrestling. Well, no sense in it. All I had to do is do this. Did you ever take your hand and just see? I did this to some young people. I said, hold your hand as tight as you can. And then I read my text while I said, now I want to see the whites of your knuckles. And they held it. And I slowly read my text and I could hear them moan and groan. And finally I said to them, all right, release. And it was just the sighs of relief. Woo! Because they tell me if you leave that hand clutched like that tightly long enough, it'll lock up on you. Someone have to come break it loose. And did you know that if you got your hands like this, gripping real tight, they're not good for anything else? You might as well not have any hands. You can't build anything. You can't shake hands. You can't do nothing but fight. And that's what we're all the time doing, fighting. Huh? Disagreeing! Holding on so tight, you can't even worship with your hands like that. Did you ever see anybody said, praise the Lord? No, honey, it ain't until you open that thing up and feel the blood begin to flow. You know what I'm talking about? The blood begin to flow. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? The blood begins to flow. Amen. You say, boy, I'm going to tell you what. And then you raise them hands and say, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad He's in charge. Amen. I'm glad He's in control. I'm glad He's running the situation. I'm glad I'm not going to have to wrestle tonight. I'm glad I'm not going to have to fight over that. I'm glad that belonged to the Lord. And it is that simple, as He told him on that night. Jacob, if you're going to enjoy the blessing, son, let go. And let God. That'll get rid of the tension, the struggle, the strain of life. Let's stand.